Just so you know, I would have done the same thing if you were white.
That's good to know.
Hello, and welcome to episode 59 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I'm Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Puchko and Angie Han.
Hello!
Hi!
Alright, so this week we are talking a little bit about the movie While We're Young. We're also going to do our big review on Get Hard, and then we're going to wrap up with another game. So, Christy, you're taking it first with While We're Young.
Yeah, so While We're Young is the latest movie by Noah Baumbach. It is about a middle-aged couple's career and marriage are overturned when a disarming young couple enters their lives. And, like, this is the trailer that everybody saw and got excited about because it was Adam Driver and Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts and Amanda Seyfried, and it looked really charming and exciting. And it's about basically 40-somethings making friends with 20-somethings and feeling young by proxy, kind of. And I like the first hour of this movie a great deal because as a 30-something, I related to it because I still vividly remember what it was like being in my 20s where everything felt possible and everything old felt like old, like cool in this way that other people didn't understand, man, or whatever. And I also relate to the 40-somethings in the idea of feeling like you're supposed to have hit this level of adulthood where you're like, no, I'm an adult now. Like, that's a lie, I'm pretty sure, because, like, at this point, I'm still, like, feeling like I'm faking being an adult most of the time.
They say that in the movie, too.
Yeah, and I like that. Like, I responded to all of that, but where it falls apart for me is all of a sudden it just starts becoming about too many things.
Well, it's one specific thing that kind of ruins everything. It's Adam Driver's little mission to make a documentary. I mean, that's not really a spoiler. It's partially in the trailer, but that's the worst part of the movie. The movie didn't need it at all. It could have been kind of like a slice of life experience between these two couples and how they enjoy being together and what they bring out in each other. But instead, all of a sudden, it gets like all plotty in the end, and it's a stupid story.
Yeah, it becomes really strange because it's about both the guys in the movie are documentarians and they have very different views on how to be a documentarian, which if you're already going, that sounds kind of boring, guess what? Yeah, it is. It's a kind of boring idea to go about. And like, you know, it's not that interesting. And then it devolves, instead of being about these two different couples and where they are in their own lives, it devolves into just being white guys yelling opinions at each other, which I just didn't care about. And then like the final act took this turn that was so frustratingly like fucking conventional and plebeian that I was just really bummed out because I was like, oh, this could have been really interesting, but instead they decided to do the most obvious solution to these people's problem of I don't feel like a grown-up.
It was definitely a disappointing way to wrap the whole thing up, but I will say by that point of the movie I was very engaged in all four of these characters' lives and I was definitely interested in seeing what happened to them, so it definitely didn't take away from the entertainment value of the film. But you know, it's impossible to walk away from it and be like, you know, that part is not the same as that part. Like, you're gonna notice.
It turned me against the movie, man. I was enjoying the first hour a lot, kind of in spite of Ben Stiller, because I feel like Ben Stiller has that one thing he does, and I have a tendency to get pretty tired of it, where he's like, I'm the modern man, but I'm so flustered! Like, he's the Jennifer Aniston of dudes, and I get really exhausted. That's how that was said on, right? You thought Ben Stiller was here.
A little bit. How great was Naomi Watts, though? I love seeing her let loose and just have fun. Like, that dance scene with her.
I want to take her hip-hop class. Yeah. Naomi Watts is great in this. And, like, I want Naomi Watts to get better movies. Because she's in, I have my Birdman thing right here. She's great in Birdman. But then it's like, she gets Insurgent and they give her nothing to do. Like, she gets this and they give her all these great speeches. But then the final act seems to just undo all the work she did. Because I guess a woman never tells the truth.
She did play the very, like, sensible, grounded spot within that whole argument. It's like, really, she did kind of, like, as disappointing as it was when they get to that ending, she speaks the truth. It's like, that's what any logical, rational person might have said in this situation. Even though someone might have been right and someone might have been wrong, you know, what she says was probably the right way to go about it.
No, I'm talking specifically about the very last thing that happens, which I feel like it's just, I get a little tedious whenever, I feel like ultimately this movie does that thing where it tells, like, women how to women, which drives me crazy, where it's like, you can only really be happy if you do X, Y, and Z, and I'm just like, you know what? Movie.
I also feel like the second you saw Ben Stiller strap on those rollerblades and, you know, it's kind of like one of those, you know, catch someone before they hop on the plane type moments. It's like the second that happened, you knew that the movie was going to wrap up with like a nice little bow on top.
Yeah, and I wish it hadn't, because, like, you know, his last movie was Frances Ha, and I thought Frances Ha was really smart and beautiful and thoughtful, and it felt like being in your 20s in a way that was honest and silly, and I really liked. And then this movie just feels like people in their 20s, am I right?
Well, I get that, and I definitely had a problem with where the movie wrapped up, but I still enjoyed it quite a bit, and I definitely highly recommend it. Christy, what do you say about it?
I say skip it.
Aw.
Yeah.
But they sent us ice cream.
They sent you ice cream. I didn't get any ice cream. I was not going to bring it up.
That's why you don't like the movie.
That's it. It's just because, look, that ice cream had whiskey in it. And if there's anything that should come to me, it is ice cream with whiskey in it.
I'll bring you one of my pints. I shouldn't be eating them both anyway. All right. On to our big review of the week. It's Get Hard. Angie, you're going to get hard now. That's weird. I hate that title.
I don't want to be here. I said that to somebody the other day. I was like, hey, are you going to get hard tomorrow? Or are you going to get hard tomorrow? Meaning the screening. And then I felt horrified.
I think that's the idea, guys. You guys are like, that's a horrible title. But I'm pretty sure that's exactly what they're going for. All right. So, Get Hard. When millionaire James King is nailed for fraud and bound for San Quentin, he turns to Darnell Lewis to prep him to go behind bars. James King is played by Will Ferrell. Darnell Lewis is played by Kevin Hart. One of them is very tall. One of them is very short. And that's probably my favorite thing about this movie, which I overall didn't like that much.
The main theme of the movie. One of them's black and one of them's white.
I thought that was pretty clear when I said they were played by Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart. But just in case you weren't clear, Will Ferrell is a white person.
The movie is basically what you saw in the trailer and nothing more at all. It's like every single joke that you see in the trailer is pretty much the good ones in the movie. And that's it. It's like they could have had a lot of fun, you know, maybe even adding different layers that we didn't expect to the situation of like a guy like Kevin Hart's character teaching a guy like Will's character to survive life in prison. But... Mm-hmm. No, they go for obvious things, and that's it. That's really all you get.
The movie sets itself up like, oh, we're going to bust some stereotypes, because the whole thing in the movie is that James King, who is this, like, clueless, upper-class white guy, banker played by Will Ferrell, the only reason that he hires Darnell Lewis to help him prep for prison is because he assumes that because he's a black man, he's been to prison, when in reality, he's this, like, upstanding pillar of society, small business owner, family man kind of guy. So the whole movie is like, oh, we're gonna going out there to bust some stereotypes. And then what it does is just like lean into every stereotype there is, offer you nothing more than that. And then there's a really strong theme of homophobia throughout the whole movie, which I wasn't expecting. Honestly, I went in being like, this is probably going to be kind of racist, isn't it? But I wasn't expecting this whole movie to have so much about like what this movie really is about how like gay sex is the worst thing that could possibly happen to a man.
Yeah. And like, I want to say, because when I heard about this, I thought, well, I understand a guy going like, I don't want to be raped. And there is definitely an element of that. And they talk about it sometimes so directly that you're just like, oh my God, like, why is prison rape so hilarious to guys apparently? But like, we're not talking about prison rape. That's not the issue that I have an issue with that screams homophobia to me. The issue that screams homophobia to me is specifically, there's a couple of things that are ridiculous in this movie, but there's a scene where Will Ferrell basically accepts that he could not fight off a rape. So maybe if he gets really good at giving head, that'll just be his thing. Sure. So then he tries to give head to a guy and they treat it just like it's supposed to be the movie's big gross out moment. And then so by extension, like it just makes like blowjobs seem like the most disgusting thing ever, which is inherently homophobic and misogynistic, frankly.
Yeah, and it kind of, whenever straight guys act like that, I'm just kind of like, do you or do you not want your dick sucked ever again in your life?
Like, I don't think it helped that that moment's lead-in was also a pretty nasty portrayal of, like, a gay cafe. That kind of set it up in a really poor light.
Yeah, it's
another stereotype that they set up and they just decide that they're gonna go hard with it. See what I did.
And it's just like,
that was pretty clever.
They could have subverted stereotypes. It's so disappointing because it's like, you know, I think about like a show like Happy Endings where they gave you stereotypes. Like they're like, here's the black friend. But then like everything that guy did like created a character instead of just being the black friend, or they had a gay character, but he was like so bro-y that everybody was like, how are you a gay character? And there was things about it that subverted the genre and they had fun with it. Like this movie doesn't do that. And actually the part that made me laugh the hardest at this was because it reminded me of a Key and Peele sketch. And then I just got sad that Key and Peele, like, why weren't they brought in to write this movie? Because they have such a good sense about how to handle race relations in comedy. And this movie instead was written by three white dudes who just didn't get it. Like, I wasn't offended as much as I was just bored, because this is the same kind of stupid jokes that dumb bros say on the subway to each other.
There were a lot of really cool things they could have done with it. Like the whole idea of Kevin Hart turning Will Ferrell's house into a mock prison. It's like, it didn't only need to be about the gay sex thing. It's like, they had the prison riot too. There could have been a lot of other tactics that they could have taught him. I mean, I guess he does some of that when he goes to T.I.'s character's house, but that kind of
goes... Oh, that's who T.I. is.
Nowhere.
I'm not cool.
Yeah. How, and you know, how bad was Alison Brie in this movie? I wanted to
She has nothing to do!
I wanted to punch her in the face every time she opened her mouth.
What
she
also made me crazy is that there's, like, so much female nudity in this. There's, like, a little bit of dude nudity, but of course it's played for laughs, but all the girl nudity is like, yeah, tits and ass, like... But, like, Alison Brie gets put in this teeny tiny... I'm having a lot of yelling today. Sorry,
I feel like that'd make the perfect gif. Just you leaning into the camera going, tits and ass. I will work on that.
I'll have to warn my mom not to listen to this episode. So, anyway. But there's, like, a scene where they have her in lingerie. And there's, like, a scene where we're looking basically at her ass through the thinnest of thin lingerie ever. And then later Will Ferrell insults her ass and tells her she has a white girl's ass. And I maybe wouldn't have been as annoyed by that if we hadn't spent so long staring at it in a different scene. And then, of course, he gets his, like, he gets a trophy girlfriend who's a black girl with a giant ass. And I'm like, this doesn't make him more progressive. It just gave him a fetish. Like,
it was also frustrating that he was so smart but so stupid at the same time. It's like, right off the bat, it kind of, the story isn't sound, because he's this really bright guy that's insanely good at his job, yet he still mistakes Kevin Hart's character for having gone to jail just because he's black, which is ridiculous. And then on top of that, how does he not see how Alison Brie's character is behaving too? That she's going to do that to him? I mean, it's right there.
Like, there's a big quote-unquote twist, and you're like, this is not a twist. You've been telegraphing this since the moment you introduced this character.
And it just
it doesn't make any sense. It would have been more interesting if any of the characters, the side characters, had gotten like a little bit of colorization. That's not the best word. Character development is what I mean. But like, there's characters who are, he has like a Latino a maid and yard workers, and like, I thought, well, surely we're gonna get to know them a little bit since they keep bringing them to the plot. But no, literally all they do is like speak in like really stereotypical accents.
One-liners.
Well, yeah, one thing that bothered me about how stupid Will Ferrell's character is that it's kind of used as a way to excuse him, where this movie is so lazy. Like, so, you know, you have, like, this white guy who initially you think, oh, he's unlikable. He, you know, he's a criminal and he has all these, like, offensive stereotypes or whatever. But it really just lets him off the hook by making him so stupid that you're just like, oh, I mean, but he's, like, really a nice guy. And then on the flip side, they have Kevin Hart's character who, you know, oh, we're going to have a movie about a white guy learning that black people aren't all that bad, so we better make him the best black person ever. He's a model citizen. He's never even on a parking ticket. All, the three of us have like, more sense of criminal history
than
this guy.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
a damn degenerate compared to that character, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, and it's such a lazy way of setting it up where, like, then the white guy doesn't, like, it turns out he's not that bad, so he doesn't really have to do anything. And then the black guy was always, like, such a good guy, so it's fine. And I don't know. Like, that was one thing that really bothered me about
it. And, like, a reporter over at HitFlix called them out on it and said, you know, it's kind of mean-spirited. Was this something you were concerned about at all? And Kevin Hart's response was, funny is funny. Sure, this isn't funny.
The thing is, I didn't find it that mean-spirited. I just found it kind of lazy. It's like they just went for the obvious. I don't think that they actually, like, just the tone of the movie, it didn't feel like that to me. Like, I'll be honest, when I watch movies like this, things that are racist and homophobic do tend to roll off me pretty easy. But the fact that I was picking up on it and I was stopping to think, shit, people are going to be upset by this, probably means that it's going to feel 10 times worse to most other people. But I will give the movie a little credit because, you know, while I was sitting there watching it, I was mildly entertained. I never got bored. And there's something about Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart's chemistry that I definitely was enjoying. I think they do have something unique. And I really wouldn't mind seeing the two of them star together in another movie at some point.
Yeah, but can that movie exactly not be about them being black and white? It's just so fucking stupid. Like, I disagree. I got bored in this movie, and that was way for me a much bigger problem than, like, actually the things in this movie that are offensive because they're just so fucking obviously offensive. It's like that Deadline article about like, well, what are white actors gonna do now that movies about or TV shows about other people are interesting? Like, you know, this movie, someone asked me what I thought of Get Hard right after I got out of it. And I said, I feel like it's weird that the message is not all white people are bad. Like, we don't need a movie that says that. It's stupid.
Not all white people are bad, and some black people, if they're not gangbangers, are also not that bad.
Yeah, because we only meet his family and gangbangers, and those are the only black people in the movie.
That's was weird seeing
also,
this
when
at
you
us.
Cast Ronald Funches as a gangbanger, like, I don't know. I don't know what we're doing.
I don't know like, who he is, so I didn't have a strong opinion on that.
Ron Funches is typically, like, he was on Kral's show, he's on At Midnight, and he's, like, this really big, hilarious comedian who just seems like a big tickly teddy bear of energy, and they like try, he's like in this his joke is like, I love killing people, and I was like, I don't like, I wish they had let him have that line but still dress as Ron Funches, because that would have been interesting to see a guy in a big pink sweatshirt with kittens on it saying that. That would be amusing to me. I don't
all right
know.
Well, I was gonna say that I agree with Perry in that I think the first thing I said when I walked out of this movie is I feel like Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart actually have pretty good comedic chemistry together, and it makes me sad that it's not used in service of a better movie. And that's like something, it's just, there are enough things in the movie that I'm like, oh, this kind of sort of works, that it makes me kind of upset that it's not better. Like, there's this one scene where Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell are role-playing. Will Ferrell is playing himself, and Kevin Hart is like, I'm all the people that you're going to meet in prison. So then he switches between, like, three different characters to kind of, like, show Will Ferrell these are the kind of people you're going to meet in prison. And he goes, like, seamlessly from playing, like, this, like, black guy to playing this Latino guy to playing this gay guy. And it's so offensive because they're all just, like, really heavily, like, stereotypes. Like, they're all just really heavy stereotypes. Like, the Latino person has, like, that, like, over-the-top, like, you know, like, Mexican accent or whatever. Like,
sentence.
The gay guy is all like, oh, you know, like he's all like froofy or whatever, and it made me be like, on the one hand, it's actually pretty impressive how quick, like how seamlessly Kevin Hart is pulling that off. The guy is talented; he can do this. On the other hand, like why did he decide to use this amazing talent and power that he has to like present the most offensively stereotypical portrayals of the three kinds of people that he could possibly think
of? It was weird seeing this at South By, because this had screened after we had that day where we had Trainwreck, Spy, and Furious 7, which everyone did love and have a lot of fun with, and then the big movie the next night was this one. And it's like, you know, when you're in that festival environment, it's almost that feeling like you kind of got to laugh it up and enjoy it. So it's like the Paramount was laughing, like there was communal laughter happening and people seemed to be enjoying it. But at the same time, when I walked out, I turned to Matt Donato and I'm like, you know, I really can't tell if that's laughter or like festival pity laughter, you know, like when the person next to you giggles so you like automatically do it as well.
Yeah,
I couldn't quite gauge what was going on in there.
I'd be really disappointed if I spent money to see this movie.
Yeah, like, it's just not funny. No. I mean,
these guys know better. They do funny shit. And, like, I just feel like this feels so lazy. I really liked Kevin Hart's other movies. I like Ride Along a lot. Will Ferrell stuff, I think he can do really funny things. But, like, in this, it's, like, it's weird because Kevin Hart's supposed to play the straight guy. Like, he's supposed to be the one that says, like, the things that Will Ferrell responds to and acts like an idiot. And it's just, it's a strange blend. And it just, the screenwriting feels lazy and the world feels dumb.
And, you know, the directing is also pretty bad, too. I mean,
the cuts are terrible.
I don't know, actually, if it's that bad as much as it's, like, I picture what them thinking while they're shooting this movie. It's like, let's just get the necessary coverage and call it quits. And, you know, a lot of the production design looked a little cheap. And it took me a while to figure out whether it looked cheap or not, because, like I mentioned before, there's that bit where he turns the mansion into a fake prison. So obviously that's going to look fake. But, yeah, everything looked like they did it on a dime.
Like even
that cafe scene. Like, there was something very small about that cafe, you know?
Yeah,
it's like
no, that's
they couldn't
a very good
find
point.
Enough extras to fill the space. So there were a lot of issues like that. I mean, you could say at that barn that they go to and they start that fight.
Yeah.
The barn with the Nazis?
There
which
was
like yet
and
another
the topless
way that the
white
movie
chicks
like,
because all neo-Nazi girls don't wear shirts.
Well, I was going to say that was another example of the movie being like, I mean, like, I know he's offensive and white and kind of awful, but hey, at least he's not a Nazi.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, yay. Good job. Gold star
You're
for
right.
not being a fucking Nazi.
You're right.
Nazi.
We're supposed to admire that he doesn't want to be a Nazi. That is completely what that scene is about. Oh my God, movie.
You're supposed to be like, oh, he's such a good guy because he like doesn't want to say the N-word even when he's given permission.
But it's okay that he wants to go with T.I.'s gang and shoot someone.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, you know, the thing is, I got some weird news last week and I'm not going to get into, but like, I was really in need of a fun comedy and I actually just felt worse after this movie and I was just like, oh, I'm going to go look up some cartoons or something.
I won't go that far. I walked out feeling like, I don't know, like I did get a little bit of energy out of the movie. There was a little giggling happening. I mean, it's not a good movie by any means, but I think I would say, you know, like, if you're into that kind of humor, it's kind of a harmless, on-demand type watch, like on a rainy day.
I would say, kind of in that line, if you're an idiot, you might enjoy this movie a lot. But otherwise, it's lazy, and there are much better movies out there.
That is fair.
I also wouldn't even call it necessarily harmless. I mean, I'm not saying that this is, like, a horrible thing that's going to cause a downfall of society, but, like, it's a movie that I could see people getting offended by. I wasn't, like, I was, like you guys, I was more bored and just kind of like, oh, whatever, than, you know, outraged. But, you know, it's a movie that reinforces a lot of stereotypes without really trying at all to comment on them. So I think that that's worth pointing out. Just in general, though, like, even if you get past that, it's just not that funny.
Maybe I meant more mindless than harmless.
What?
Like a mindless watch.
Yeah.
Like,
mindless is probably a better word.
Like sit back, relax, eat something, maybe do some cleaning, I don't know.
I feel like if you like these two, then you should do them a favor, skip this movie and watch them other much better things that they have done.
Yeah, I feel like you'll be able to like both of them more if you just don't see this movie. Like it's our job to see all their movies even when they're not good, and so just take our word for it and skip this one, and you'll probably like Kevin Hart and Will Ferrell better for it.
So it sounds like we have two don't bothers and one like, I mean, it's not the end of the world. So, you know, glowing endorsements all around, right?
That sums it up pretty well. All right, so let's move on to our game section this week. And before we touch on the new game, we're going to reveal our winner from last week. And the question last week was, what movie-themed product would you like to see on store shelves? And our winner is Kelly Sebastian, who goes by the Twitter handle @Kel_Sebastian. And not only did she make a great suggestion for a product, but she also actually Photoshopped it, and we want to share the Photoshop, which will go right here. Da, 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 da.
And what is the, I want you to say the name of the product.
Gummo Bears. Gummo Bears. So yay.
Gummo Bears.
Kelly Sebastian, you are amazing. You are our winner. So now it's on to this week's contest, and we've got April Fool's coming up, so we want to ask you, what April Fool's hoax would you like to start? Because, you know, April Fool's is going to come, and what's going to happen is there's going to be some fake news stories out there, and I'm sure they're going to be sensational, crazy things that people get all hyped about, and then 2 seconds later, you're like, oh shit, it's April Fool's. That's not really happening. So we want you to come up with your own crazy April Fool's movie news story, and just pretend it's true. What would you like to see happen more than anything? So that is our contest this week. You can tweet us and answer the question @PopcornProsecco. We're going to post the question there too, so you'll be able to find it pretty easily. Make sure you reply and include @PopcornProsecco so we can see your answer, and we will share the winner with you next week. So I guess that's it for episode 59 of Popcorn and Prosecco. As per usual, you could find us on Facebook, Popcorn Prosecco. You can find us on Twitter @PopcornProsecco. We have our YouTube channel. We also have our website, popcornprosecco.com, and we are on iTunes as well. And if you could rate us, like us, comment, all that good stuff over there, that's always greatly appreciated. And the three of us are all over the internet as well. Angie, you want to take it first?
Yes, you can find me on Twitter @AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
Christy?
And I'm @ChristyPuchko on Twitter, and I write for a bunch of different places. So you can keep up with me at decadentcriminals.com, where I post highlights.
And I write for Collider.com, and you can catch me on Twitter @PNemiroff. So that's it for this week, and we'll see you next time.
We do this, we do it hard. I can get harder.